Hey everyone, it's Naomi Wolf again, and as I promised, I'm breaking up my videos today into two sections. We just did local law, local issues of governance being suspended, due process being suspended under the guise of a very real medical emergency. Now we're talking about, as I promised, and I'm sorry I've been remiss in the last week, I promised I'd talk to you every other day about the global, what I see as a global crackdown on human rights and freedoms under the opportunity presented, I'll say, by a very real medical emergency. And so as promised, I'll update today some of the events that are causing me the most concern internationally. Can you all hear me? Can you all hear me? All right. So what has happened in the last couple of days since I last spoke to you is that someone please let me know if you can hear this so that I don't talk to myself for the next few minutes. Okay, well, I'll just keep talking. What is concerning me is that I read today that there are draconian, good, I'm getting hello from Germany, hello from around the world. I'm getting important crackdowns, I mean, that's the only way I can say it, on liberties, notifications in the rest of the world. Specifically, I want to talk about the following. You know, what we're seeing is that, and I've said this a lot, but I'll just keep saying it, you know, if you see papers flying, just ignore them. What we're seeing is that things are being tried in one country, almost, and it's always Australia or Israel, frankly, pushing the limits of what free democratic societies have experienced in the past or tolerated in the name of this virus. The limits are being pushed. And then when people abide by that, the same thing is rolled out in other countries. And that's why, you know, I'm very, very concerned. It seems obvious that these crackdowns are coordinated. People are learning from each other and informing each other what, you know, what works, what doesn't. Again, I am not minimizing the severity of this pandemic. However, as you know, and I'll do a whole separate video on this, the more and it doesn't take much, the more you try to find the raw data of infections and fatalities, the more they fall apart. There really just aren't good data on, you know, underlying these draconian lockdowns. And, you know, everything has to be science-based. But in the absence of that, what I've heard from Melbourne, Australia, is that the lockdown there continues in an absolutely draconian way, and that people are only allowed to shop at, correct me if this is not true, if you're in Melbourne, Australia, I hope the algorithm serves me to you in Melbourne, Australia, because I'll get into that, but digital news, you know, can be managed without fingerprints, so that you might hear me in the United States, but not hear me in Australia, certainly not in China or Iran. But anyway, I've heard reports that there's policing enforcing the lockdowns, that people are being fined for not wearing a mask, even if they're completely alone on a hiking trail, that they're being compelled to shop in what are called the big three, which I assume are three major, you know, shopping centers, and the same thing has happened in the United States, in New York State during our lockdown. We, you know, Walmart was open, but mom and pop shops closed or forced to close. And again, how does that prevent spread to, you know, force everyone to shop in a gigantic, you know, supermarket instead of in a tiny mom and pop shop that would keep that part of the economy alive? But what I'm seeing is, and I've, you know, talked about this, written about it, hoarding of resources and economic benefit to just a few businesses, overwhelmingly to the tech companies that profit from us all doing everything online and ordering from Amazon or ordering from, you know, home delivery, and crushing, you know, small business owners, crushing local economies, crushing national economies, apart from those self-selected winners. And by the way, the definition of totalitarianism or fascism is this merging of corporatism and repressive government. That is the definition. I mean, that's not what's supposed to happen in a free society, that the government says you can shop here and not there. It happens in China. You know, it happens in Iran. It happens in North Korea. It's not supposed to happen in Australia. It's not supposed to happen in Britain or the United States. So draconian, and people have told me, but I haven't confirmed it, so I want to be very careful, that there are a lot of policing that are not identifiable. We saw that in America, in Portland, that there's police with their names and their badges, which is how a civil society is supposed to work, but also, you know, contractors or mercenaries or unidentified guys doing policing. And again, as I said in the end of America, that is a very dangerous sign when you can't identify the people who are keeping order, and they're not accountable to civil society. That's the definition of a police state. What also concerns me about the Melbourne lockdown is that there is no clear, at least not reported where I can read the reports, there's no clear exit. Like, what's the end game? And so what worries me is that the narrative of how long we need to lock down for, and I, in other videos I've talked about how lockdown itself is unprecedented. We've had quarantines, but they're very different. They don't quarantine the whole society, the whole economy, just sick people. But there is no exit plan. And so the narrative that I'm worried, I'm seeing develop more and more, very different from in March, is we won't let you go, you shouldn't want to be let go, till there are no more infections or deaths in the whole area. No more infections or deaths in the whole region, in the whole country. We won't let you go till that time. And don't ask for it, because that's selfish. So, and the last thing, you know, that I've been saying over and over on social media, but I'm saying it more coherently to you in these videos, is who decides, right? In a real civil society, and I always mention the AIDS crisis, it's the community that decides, that urges people to behave responsibly, that, you know, encourages people to protect their neighbors, to protect their friends. But we didn't lock HIV positive people away, or, you know, shame them if they circulated in society or had, you know, intercourse with other people. This was understood to be a matter of personal choice, personal responsibility. There was an ethics, you know, you were supposed to disclose, you were supposed to be responsible, but no one forced people to do it at gunpoint, or fine them if they had sex with people, or, you know, track them or trace them, or, you know, inform their sexual context. That was floated at that time, and it was rejected as totally draconian and a violation of their rights, as it should have been. And many people died. And the other thing I want you to be aware of is the narrative is saves lives. And I'm so sick of this, because, you know, they tried to strip us of all our civil liberties with the terrorism hysteria since after 9/11. That didn't work that well, partly because people critiqued it and asked questions, including me. But they always said, it saves lives. You have to lose your liberties in the following way, because it will save lives. And you know, that's not the only metric. In a free society, if you lock everyone up forever, you're going to save some lives. But that is not the only way people in a free society have to decide, you know, what kind of world they want. By definition, there is risk when you have freedom. And so I want you to, but what the phrase, this will save lives, does critically, it kind of goes to that reptile brain. Oh, you know, I want to save lives, so I won't ask any more questions. So I, as I keep saying on social media, but I'm saying it coherently now, someday coronavirus will be over. We can't even gauge how extensive infections and deaths are, because the data fall apart when you look at them. And again, I'll devote a whole video to showing you why that's true, or how I know that to be true, because don't take my word for it. But someday, you know, Germany and France and the UK will emerge from lockdown, but will they have their rights? You know, and as I keep saying, speaking as a former political consultant, you are worth more enslaved than free. I can't tell you this enough. You are worth more afraid and in your house and not asking questions and not demanding to see the scientific evidence and not demanding to confirm the data and, you know, not saying, no, you're not going to tell me, I can't gather in a free society. It's up to me. It's up to people who join me to decide for themselves what risks they want to take. It's, you know, public health should be about informing people and, you know, giving them every ability to protect themselves and their families. But in a free society, people have freedom of movement, freedom of assembly, freedom of speech. So that is worrying. Those are worrying bulletins from Australia. And the other reason I'm worried about Australia is media, right? The Murdoch-backed media had dominated Australia for a long time. It was hard for people to get objective, good reporting. Now, you know, the last independent news outlets seem to have been swamped or collapsed. There are very, very few left from what I can tell. And there's also a petition against Murdoch-owned media. But in the meantime, people are really left without independent information and without thus any critique of these draconian lockdowns or demanding, you know, what is the metric for us to be let out? And, you know, this can go on forever. I mean, I guess at this point, I just want to say to you, what makes you think they're ever going to let you out? I mean, I just need to say that. What makes you think that? It's so profitable to spin this forever. You know, real until it's not real, until it's less of a threat. What makes you think they'll say, okay, it's all clear. Let's, you know, come out and have a robust civil society with rights and freedoms as before. I cannot stress to you how the people who have power right now do not want you to have rights and freedoms. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I was a former advisor to Clinton and Gore, and they were pretty good. But I saw how power works. If someone can get rid of your right to assemble, you know, just the people who want to develop this beautiful valley, they would rather, I can't tell you about Local Law 2 on this interweb, and they'd rather we couldn't all gather together to say, fuck this shit, you know, we're not going to let it happen to our valley. Anyone who is a special interest would rather citizens are scared in their homes, dependent on the internet and a few giant tech companies for information, because then all the stuff can be acquired, not by you. It's really that simple. So you should face the fact that they're never going to let you out, right? If you don't resist, if you don't ask questions, this is going on forever, especially because, as I reported earlier, Steph Simonowitz has broken a story that Palantir, Amazon, Microsoft, and Google own NHS and HHS COVID data. So you are not even getting unmediated COVID data. So now moving along, what else happened recently was the UK is facing massive targeted restrictions. And specifically, cities upstate, I believe York is in a targeted lockdown, and other cities are also in a targeted lockdown. What really worries me about that is that they're rolling out what's been rolled out in Canada, and I gather in Australia, which is limitation on how many people can gather inside a private home, right? Inside your home. So I gather that there's a limit of 5 people in a private home, a limit of 6 people in a kind of community space. And so that, you know, is an opening for the police to invade what has, in British tradition, been, you know, man's home is his castle, right? And eventually a woman's home is her castle. I mean, Britain, for all their colonial sins, they did instigate, you know, some of the most fundamental freedoms of our era, you know, and they established privacy and they established rights. And so what happens now with a law like that, ostensibly on the basis of limiting spread of coronavirus, is that the state, the police can knock on your door, break into your door, as reports are from Ontario, you know, and see who's there and arrest you if you are gathering in more than 5 people. So, oh my God, March 31st, 2021, Canada has quarantine camps that are being spoken about. Well, we want to confirm that. you know, we want to stay on the kind of confirmed side of everything. But I'm worried that coronavirus bill in the UK in March talked about 2020-2021. You know, how would anyone know in advance what's going to happen in 2021, right? So we should be on high alert. Like, no one should be legislating about 2021 right now if it's a genuine, verifiable medical emergency. We should be going day by day looking at the data, right? That's how free societies operate. So I'm very worried about the UK. And what I guess I want to say about the UK, and I want to add France, I gather that France is also having targeted cities locked down, I believe 5 cities. Paris has a curfew. Lyon and other provincial cities have curfews. So again, I want you to ask questions about that. If you're in France, if you're listening, think about it. How does a curfew prevent transmission of a virus? You could say it limits the hours in the day that people are circulating, but you know, it just compresses the hours in the day that people are circulating. Arguably, you know, the more, like being outdoors, right? Arguably, the more hours people have to circulate, the less crowded they'll be. But what a curfew does is it habituates people. It habituates people to an imprisoned, enclosed reality in which they cannot draw energy from one another. They can't sustain their morale. They can't gather outside safely in beautiful weather with social distancing to read poetry or to, you know, share information about actual coronavirus statistics. They can't mobilize to keep their spirits up. And so what I'm really worried about with these targeted lockdowns, and I knew it would happen, you know, the resurgence in the fall, of course there's going to be a resurgence in the fall. It's a coronavirus. A flu is also a much less serious coronavirus, right? It, you know, emerges in cold weather when people are indoors. What I'm worried about is exhaustion. And I'm worried that this is part of, you know, what people who want us to be imprisoned are counting on. If we constantly are having our leaders say, now you're free, now you're not free. Now you can go to a party, now you can't go to a party. Now you can go out to dinner, now you're inside and a policeman is going to enforce it. Now you can have a dinner party with 6 people, now just 5, right? What it does, and I've warned about this since the end of America, it habituates you to be a different kind of person, right? It habituates your children to not have any memories of a world that is free. And over time, you lose the reflexes of liberty if you are controlled and controlled so much. And there's a word for this, which is learned helplessness, right? Rats in cages, when they had no control over their environment, very quickly they started to give up. Right, even if the sugar was right there and they could press the pedal and retrieve it, they started to give up and not even try and become passive, learned helplessness. So pay attention, don't let your government tell you, you know, what you must do in the interest of an emergency we can't even verify with scientific information. In a free society, it is up to you. It is up to you and your neighbors what kind of community you have and what kind of public health measures you take, all right? So then moving along, and by the way, you know, my heart, right, Europe, I mean, just like England innovated the Magna Carta and, you know, petitioning Parliament and privacy and free speech rights, until they didn't, which is what I covered in my book, Outrages. You know, France is the birthplace of liberté, égalité, fraternité. And for the people who had a revolution to have freedom, you know, to be indoors, herded indoors, unquestioning with bad data, you know, and not even demanding, you know, verification, being able to demand verification and liberty for themselves, right? To take the risks of freedom for themselves. That is really tragic because, you know, not all nations have the same history of achievements in the service of liberty. All deserve them, But, you know, if the U.S. goes and Britain goes and France goes, the whole world will be China. And honestly, I think that that is what is, you know, emerging, is that, and I've been worrying about this for years, what do oligarchs want? They want the whole world to be China. They want the countries, Australia, Canada, you know, Western Europe, North America, that have had an open civil society, to be controlled the way people in China are controlled, but with lots of things to buy. And so Singapore, right? They want the world to be Singapore. No freedom, lots of commercial products. So moving along, other updates. Lastly, I couldn't believe this, but it was in Haaretz and the Jerusalem Post. Israel, can't believe it, have to report it. Bibi Netanyahu called for children in Israel to be microchipped with a chip that beeps when they get within 2 meters, which is about 6 feet, of another child or person, like cars. You know, when you're backing up and you're about to crash into something, it beeps because there's a sensor. He wants to microchip children with sensors so that they cannot get too close to each other. So again, Israel is also, and Palestine, it's a petri dish. It's where policies to control populations are tested. I warned in the 2010s that American domestic police were being sent over to Israel and taught to control populations the way that Israeli police control Palestinian populations. And so pay attention to this seemingly deranged proposal that Bibi Netanyahu really made to microchip children so they don't get too close to other children, because that proposal is not going to go away. It's a trial balloon. And so, you know, I guess what I'm seeing with all of this narrative about don't hug anyone, which is real, right? If there's a real airborne illness, you need to be careful. You know, raising children who are scared to touch, raising children who are scared to play, raising children who are scared to breathe the air, right? Who are used to being told, stay inside, go out, stay inside, go out, right? I mean, apart from the medical issues, which we cannot even evaluate, I will never stop saying that, but we can verify the data, and right now none of the data hold up, right? What is happening, as I see it around the world, is a conditioning of free people to be unfree, and a conditioning of people to be so demoralized and exhausted and depressed and alcoholic from, you know, 2 years indoors or being allowed out and then sent back in, being allowed out and, you know, held at, you know, at gunpoint if they socialize with too many people, that they'll do anything to be allowed normal life again, including be, you know, submit to any kind of whatever weird bodily intrusion Bill Gates will have thought up, or AstraZeneca, or, you know, any of the great pharmaceutical companies with their own problems, making sure that their products are safe and healthy. And I'm not an anti-vaxxer, right? But, you know, I do know that we're in a climate in which the first person to say, okay, allow yourself to be tracked and traced forever, allow yourself to have a chip that follows you, allow yourself, and I am not a conspiracy theorist, right? Bibi Netanyahu said this, according to the Jerusalem Post, right? Allow yourself to be monitored in certain ways. You know, smart cities, which will be monitoring people if we let them happen. All of that, it's not a, like it is a dystopian science fiction novel, but I really want you to understand it's also not. It's actual real policy. And I really need you to wrap your head around the fact that the people who are in charge, you know, are not making medical policy only on the basis of medical science. You know, the NHS's doctors are not in charge of lockdown policy. You know, that the, who would it even be? The CDC is not in charge of lockdown policy. The CDC can't even locate its own flu deaths for the last 2 years. Their estimates on its own website, right? And then the last thing I'll say is in Britain, they're starting to use this ridiculous metric called presumed deaths or excess deaths and ascribing them to the COVID total. Same thing is starting in America. Excess deaths is assigned to the COVID total. What is an excess death? Deaths are not stable from year to year. In 2017, 70,000 people died of ordinary flu, and we didn't lock down the world, right? It was tragic, but we didn't, we maintained our freedom in societies. So all of those you know, flu deaths that are now missing are being reassigned in the United States to some other category, possibly, because the CDC is not confirming them. They're gone. Where are they going? So with the metric of excess death, they're starting to say, well, if you died of cancer because coronavirus, you know, led you to delay going to the hospital, that's a COVID death. Or if you died of, you know, suicide because you were depressed on losing your job because of lockdown, that's a COVID death. It's insane. Like, you don't have to be a data nerd or data scientist to realize how dumb that is as a metric for a COVID death. It allows you, and I said this on Twitter, it literally, you could do that with by locking down any population under any circumstance. And then whoever dies, you call it, you know, attributable to whatever disease is prevalent at that time. So that is my summary of what I see around the world. I want to make sure I've today, which is October 15th, I want to make sure I've answered everyone's questions. Kelly Mercer says, end of humanity. I mean, God forbid, but I'm starting to worry actively. Dawn Marie Picard says, if we allow it. And thank you, Dawn Marie. We need hope, but we also need information, and we need to work together. Dawn Marie Parker says, yep, unless you and I vote differently, then being on the political voting treadmill will ripple. I can't identify kind of who originates these outcomes as specifically as some of you would like me to. It's not a bunch of people in a room. It's a lot of loosely aligned special interests, like, you know, mining interests and fossil fuel interests and, you know, right-wing interests and left-wing interests and China, right? So Judy Aldrich says, hi from Bendigo, Australia. Judy, let me know how you guys are doing. I live in New York and the energy is very dark, says Mike Thompson. I'm sorry about that, Mike. I agree. I wanted to cry when I went back to Manhattan. Mark Podmore says, you're right, and what we allow will continue. Keep to facts, please. By the way, I support your efforts. Thank you, John Tidswell. I appreciate it. Victoria is Australia, says John Tidswell. Wow. As of Friday midnight, no one can visit each other and gather out in a pub. London is officially moving to Tier 2. Good God. That's the worst news I've had. Mike Thompson, oh my God, that's so bad. You can't visit each other or gather in a pub. So Tier 1, Tier 2, like, be, you know, just reject these, you know, like, really, people don't, in a free society, don't have the right to say this is your level of freedom, right? They don't. Libor Konicek says freedom over our body, and I agree with you. If you don't have the right to control your body, you have nothing. Michael Clement says, pardon the oversimplification, but if Trump gets another 4 years, is America totally fucked? Is that a head for the hill scenario of thoughts? Honestly, I'm as scared in different ways about both candidates. I, you know, am terrified about what Trump would do to our institutions and to our environment. But honestly, Biden's and Harris's ties to China, you know, I know there's a lot of fake news about that, but there's also a lot of real news. And, you know, there are real affiliations. I mean, it's not insignificant if Hunter Biden has a business relationship with Communist China. Communist China wants the West to yield, basically, and to not have the traditional freedoms that have allowed us to fight the, you know, hegemony of Communist China. And they're very stealthy. They, you know, it's not like drones and guns and battleships outside our borders. It's propaganda, it's social media, it's influence within our borders. I mean, in Australia, I understand that there was a tech hub that turned out to be a Chinese military installation. So I think that's happening. I think that it's not all one country, but a lot of people are taking money from China or influenced by China. And, you know, the Dems have their own bad relationships. So what I think should happen is if Biden-Harris get in, if Trump gets in, emoluments clause, investigation of every possible corruption of family members and staff to try to get leaders of countries to be accountable to their own countries again. Because that is something that happened in globalization that we're bearing the brunt of. Like, globalization led to leaders not just caring about protecting their own people and their own country, but being bought by influence from other countries. Judy Aldrich says maybe it's about climate change, maybe because of the soaring temperatures, melting ice caps, massive fires, loss of forest canopy, carbon sinks. The powers that be have to shut it all down. A reverse carbon cycle spells serious environmental crash. I mean, I don't know, but, you know, lockdown does suppress carbon emissions, and I think some kind of draconian response to the climate crisis could be affecting this, but again, I can't stress enough, you know, never miss a great crisis, as many leaders have said. You know, if you can be persuaded to be locked down, totalitarians will take advantage of it. And that doesn't mean don't protect people, doesn't mean don't be cautious and careful, but it does mean retain your freedoms. Armed tried police closed an independent gym this morning, £1,000 fine, says Simon Pemberton. I mean, do you know that, just imagine the fear that's instilling in people in Britain. Fear. I mean, one of the things that scares me about Biden, even though I confess I voted for him, is, you know, he's talked about a national mask mandate. You know, that violates states' rights. We have checks and balances in America. The federal government is not supposed to override states. Oh, okay. Well, on that note, the universe is telling us something. Please listen, be careful. Kelly Mercer is saying lots of interference and breakups with this video. It, you know, it could be weather, and there are my notes back there. So I'm going to sign off, but please stay safe, stay strong, and tune in. In 2 days, I'll try to be here and talk to you again. I'll let you know on Facebook. Thank you. And by the way, please support my publisher by buying Outrages, Sex, Censorship, and the Criminalization of Love, a prequel to how we got here and how the state innovated these restrictions on human liberty. And the other book is The End of America. And please become members of Daily Clout. We'll fight to keep our freedoms. Thank you. Be safe.